G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm Graham Curry, your host from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle, and I successfully maintained that weight loss now coming up 2 years. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what it's like to living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. I'm also the author of the book, The Fasting Highway, which is a story of my journey overcoming chronic addiction to fast food and sugar and taking that walk from morbid obesity to normality. So sit back here with us on the Fasting Highway in the next few weeks and listen to some inspiring guests and some experts in the intermittent fasting community. And thank you for joining us. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 50. I'm delighted that this is the 50th episode of the podcast because I've got a special guest for you, and his name is Keith McDonald. And Keith is from Canada, and his weight loss journey and story around intermittent fasting is motivational, inspiring, and heartwarming. And when you hear his why he wanted to take back his health, if it doesn't bring a tear to your eye, I don't think you've got an emotional bone in your body. But here to tell us about his amazing journey is the one, the only, the fantastic, my good friend, Keith McDonald.
Oh, g'day, Keith, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Graham.
Oh, it's great to have you here. So, Keith, what we might do is, for people that don't know you out there, if you wouldn't mind just giving a bit of your backstory and any issues with health you had in your life, and then what led you up to finding intermittent fasting.
Yeah, absolutely, Graham. Before I dig too deep into that, though, I just want to stop and tell the listeners kind of a funny real backstory with you and I is back in November, Graham asked me to actually do this podcast before Christmas, and I declined. And it's funny I declined because I'm a procrastinator of my own demise, I guess. And in Graham's book, he wrote a line in that, obese people are masters of procrastination. And that's definitely me. So I just also want to say a big thank you to Graham. And I don't think Graham actually knows, but he's a huge mentor in my life. He's certainly changed my life for everything in the fasting, the mental, my family, my career. I can't thank enough. And if you haven't read his book, go get his book and read it because it's fantastic read. It will absolutely change your life around.
So my backstory kind of, I grew up on the East Coast of Canada. So for most people that don't know the East Coast is New Brunswick, north of Maine. So I grew up in a tiny little border town in New Brunswick, kind of pretty much poor all my life, but that's a whole nother story, another topic. I grew up as a fat kid. All my life, as a little kid, that was bullied, picked on, called names, harassed, all that. So I got used to being fat. That's just how it was. You get used to it when you're fat from the age of 3, I guess, all the way up till, well, today I'm 40, but I can't say I was fat all the way up to age 40. So that's kind of where it led. So my first success and my first time into diving into weight loss happened 22 years ago now. So in 1999, I graduated high school in 98, and I just wanted to change for myself. And I didn't know what I could do. I was fat. I couldn't really join the military. That's kind of what everybody wanted to do. And I actually made a commitment to myself, and I said enough. So I just had that moment. And I can still remember it to this day. I just had this moment where I just said, I want to do it. I want to join the military. So sure enough, in 99, I embarked on a journey of my own. And I actually started with Atkins. And it seemed to work for myself. And I lost 60 pounds in the span of 3 months. After that time frame, I joined the U.S. Marines boot camp. And unfortunately, I was honorably discharged because I blew out my eardrum. And at the time, they weren't going to fix it because it wasn't during wartime, is what I was told. and they weren't going to repair it. So whatever. I left the military pretty depressed, pretty sad. Went from job to job for quite a few years. I put on all my weight within, I would say, 8 months after being discharged from boot camp. And that's because I didn't keep up my lifestyle. I didn't really know what I was doing. I went back to my old habits of just eating whatever I wanted to. So I think it's really important to know where I come from to where I am today, because I have been basically at the bottom of the barrel. One of the things that really, another thing that comes strongly to mind for myself is in 2008. So in 2008, I had a really bad depression crash, and my current wife today, who then was my girlfriend, supported me the whole way. And I was like suicidal. I was quite bad. I didn't want to live. I just hated everything about myself. And saw the doctor. Anyways, long story short, the doctor put me on antidepressants. So as many people can account for, one thing antidepressants do is they increase your appetite and they make you want to eat everything in front of you, including like bark on a tree if you could, which I don't think I've ever tasted bark that I'm aware of, but you could. Anyway, within 3 months, the effects are made me gain 80 pounds. So I went from 230 some odd pounds to 317 pounds. And then one night I woke up and I couldn't breathe. I didn't know what was going on. And my throat had swelled up, my tongue had swelled up, and everything just went like crazy, kind of blurry. I told my wife at the time, who was an RN, she raced me to the hospital. And long story short, turned out I'm allergic to Effexor. I was allergic to SSRI medicine, so I had to quit it cold turkey that day. And the only reason I knew I was allergic to it, Graham, is I listened to my body and I quit it. My body said, that's enough. And that was enough. And from that point, it took me another 7 years. So this is in 2015. And I got myself down to 287 pounds. And that was a great weight for me. I actually have a whole bunch of before and after shots of that weight loss journey. And that weight loss journey was more just kind of yo-yo dieting, picking the diet of the day, go to the bookstore, you look at the diet that's the bestseller, and you pick it up. And that's what I did. I'd pick up these bestseller books. I'd read the doctors. I'd listen to the experts. And I'd just do it. 2015 was really my changing point. In 2015, my youngest daughter was born, Zantea. So some people might have heard me say that name. So Zantea was born in 2015, which was a huge turning point in my life because she was my second daughter. I was fat, overweight. I couldn't really do a whole lot. Anyway, I went to work one day and my coworkers looked at me and said, like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, what do you mean what's wrong with me? Apparently I was purple. I had this purple rash all over myself. And it turns out this purple rash was called petechiae, or petechiae, what people that don't know the medical term, essentially my platelets, which is the clotting inside of your blood that makes your blood clot, disappeared. And I had zero platelets in my body. The doctors had no idea what it was, so they sent me to an internist right away in the emergency room. And they did a scan on my spleen. My spleen was enlarged by about 3 times. I was very confused. I didn't know what to do. And the doctors suggested at the time that maybe we should remove your spleen. I said, no, we're not going to remove my spleen. Like, what is it? What's the problem? He said, well, we don't know. We don't know why your spleen is collecting all your platelets. That's why it's enlarged. It's taking all your platelets. I said, okay, well, let's figure this out. At the time, my boss was very good to me, amazing. I took 2 weeks off. And in those 2 weeks, Graham, I became like a human Google. And I did nothing but research and research and research. And then I was able to link myself being allergic to gluten. That's when I discovered I was celiac and it was an autoimmune condition. So within 2 weeks of stopping the gluten, my spleen restored back to itself and my platelets got restored. During that time also, I had a moment where I can remember it clear as the night sky when you look at the stars and it's just so clear and you can see every star out there. And I was driving home and I had to pull over on the side of the road. And why I pulled over is I just kind of lost it emotionally. I was bawling. I was just bawling like a baby. And I prayed to God and I said, God, help me find an answer to this because I don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. And that was a big turning point. And from that point, I've been on a mission to essentially fix myself. I've had a whole host of health issues, which I'll get into later, hopefully in this podcast, if I don't talk too much, Graham. And fast forward to 2019, onto finding the book of the day. I actually had an accidental gluten exposure at a friend's house. It was at a barbecue. I call it accidental because I've been there many times and he'd purposely buy me gluten-free hamburgers. So yes, there people put wheat in hamburgers. And I knew within 30 seconds of taking my first bite that there's gluten. And the reason I knew is because it tasted like off. It was just like, this ain't meat. And I'm like, uh-oh, let me see this package. I look at the package. Sure enough, it's gluten. Oh, boy. So I said, that's enough. And I just had this moment, Graham. It was quite exciting now that I look at it and I go back. And the moment was this moment of passion and this moment of determination. I said, no more. And I listened to my body and my body said, that's it. Don't eat. And I didn't eat. So I went to the thrift store because my wife and I love to do thrift store browsing. And I went to the bookshelf because I typically just go browse around because I could never look at the clothes because I was always too fat. None of the clothes would fit me. And I saw this book and I call it my Pandora's Box moment. And the book that I picked up was actually A Guide to Intermittent Fasting by Jason Fung. And since that moment, 2019, Graham, I haven't looked back and I'm continuing. I'm driven. I continue to fix myself. And that's where I am today. And that's my backstory.
Fantastic, mate. It's that's a great backstory. And I think it is important for people to know the backstory of people and how they got to the point in their life where they have those catalyst moments like what you did there several times until you came to that point and you found that eureka moment when you picked up that book by Dr. Fung. So, Keith, when you started fasting, just give people an idea of what date that was and year and also what weight you were and that sort of thing and where you're at when you actually started fasting and what fasting protocol you started with and why.
Okay. So I started... When I started, I was 287 pounds, and I was doing keto at the time because I was having a weight competition with one of my friends. It kind of worked. It's like 10 pounds here and there, bouncing back and forth. And the protocol that I started was actually just a 16-8 fast, and I just really did it casually. I didn't take it too seriously because after the gluten exposure just went away so quickly, I was just like, oh, okay, this kind of works. So I set the book aside. I didn't quite read it all the way. And within 3 or 4 weeks, I was like, what is going on? Because people are like telling me, hey, have you lost weight? I'm like, I don't know. I think so. But I actually, in reality, I didn't lose that much. What was happening is the inflammation in my body, Graham, was just going. So at 287, I probably, when people started noticing, I bet you I was only 280 pounds. So 7-pound weight loss, but people started to notice. And the people that started to notice were just like my coworkers, my friends, kind of people that I haven't seen for a while. I was like, okay, there's something more to this. So I grabbed the book out of my drawer next to my bedside table and I read it more. And that's when I started deep diving. I started Googling it, figuring out, and I just been following Fung since, but really my starting protocol that I did was 16-8, and then I transitioned into 18-6. So for those people that don't know, 16 hours of basically not eating. You just don't eat for 16 hours. And in there's multiple methods, which we could talk about in a second. But in the fasting world, you typically will call it a dirty fast and then a clean fast. But that's basically where I started, Graham.
So with clean fasting, mate, when you started, is that something you were doing from the start or is that something you evolved into?
I did not evolve into clean fasting. So I'm one of those rare people where I had great success initially on the weight loss component only with the dirty fasting. So when I say great success, I mean it. So July 28, 2019 is when I started. I started at 287 pounds. By November of 2019, I was 228 pounds. And I was just blown away at the results. And that was it. Just a whole host of things. Clean fasting for me didn't actually start until probably around April of 2020. I don't know the exact dates. The reason I looked into clean fasting really is because with these dirty fasting that I was doing, I had these really bad, like bad hangry moments where I was just a complete jerk. I was miserable and it was bad. So I had to find a solution to that.
Yeah. So just for the listeners down under here, Keith started around 130 kgs and he got down to about 103 kgs in that first few months. So when you say you were dirty fasting, mate, what were some of the things you were doing during your fast?
So one of the things when I initially started, I stopped sugar in my coffee and I actually replaced the sugar with stevia, sometimes monk fruit, which is actually leaves this really weird aftertaste, kind of like sucralose. And I also went with the heavy duty Cremo. I went with the whipping cream and I went like a 1-in-1 in my coffee. But I think the problem that I had is I sometimes had 3 or 4 coffees with like made like that, which to me, it kind of blew me away that I could do that. But yeah, what I know today is that, yeah, you could do that, but you're probably going to do some damage to your BMR and you probably don't want to go down that road.
Yeah. And so when you did make that switch finally to the clean fast, how long did it sort of take that you started noticing some significant differences? And you mentioned there the mood swings, that type of thing, but also just general things like energy and clarity. Did that sort of improve once you started clean fasting?
Absolutely. So as soon as I discovered clean fasting, it took off. So when I say took off, I had plateaued right around in between the 225 range to 230 range. I was up and down from November till about April in that weight range. I started clean fasting. Clean fasting means in this world, only water, sparkling water, black coffee, black tea or green tea. That's it. And that's what I did. So within 2 weeks, my plateau had like no longer became a plateau. And then the curvature of my weight loss just kind of went spiraled down like right away. My hangry moments being miserable primarily disappeared. And I say primarily because I still had them, but that's another thing that I'm still trying to figure out as far as health issues. But I would say 98% of it went away. I was just stopped being miserable.
Yeah. So when you started, Keith, in your first few months and you lost that weight, what was your window looking like? What were your food choices? And did they sort of gravitate to high quality foods in that time?
Yeah. So, yeah, my diet is actually, compared to most of society, Graham, it's pretty good because I am celiac, so I have to be very conscious of everything that goes in my mouth. My wife, fantastic cook. She kind of learned from the ground up real quick on how to cook because we typically can't buy processed foods because it's got garbage in it and hidden wheat, kind of like sugar has hidden names. Wheat has a whole bunch of hidden names. And unfortunately, a lot of the manufacturers out there, they change their ingredients. So you can't just say, oh, well, it was safe for me. Well, the next month it might not be safe because it could have been produced in a different facility or different ingredients. So I ate really clean with no gluten. no grains of any kind. The only grain that I would have is white rice because I couldn't digest brown rice properly. It just never really agreed with me. The only reason I had white rice is because I really liked that full feeling. Sugar, I really limited the sugar that I would have anyways because it just typically the packaged sugar foods would have wheat or gluten or cornstarch or fructose, and all that stuff just does not agree with me at all. So a lot of our sauces, Graham, are made from scratch. As far as sugar content, it'd be a lot of honey. For the listeners out there, if you want to know the diet protocol that I kind of followed, it's called the Specified Carbohydrate Diet. It's actually a really good healing diet for autoimmune conditions. And it was actually originally made in the 1930s by a doctor, Dr. Haas. And I think that's how you say his name. Anyway, it was a study that they did of 600 celiacs, and that's how they came up with this diet. It was specifically for celiacs, and that's where I learned a lot of my what's good for you. And I kind of said that in quotes. You guys can't see me, and I say good for you because it depends on the person, because certainly there was foods in there that I just could not eat. I also did a combo of paleo during that time as well. So I like to switch up my diet. I don't like to be so static and boring with my diet. So I do a combo of keto, paleo, and the specified carbohydrate diet that I discovered.
So when did you actually find out you were diagnosed with a celiac condition, Keith?
I found that out in 2015.
Right.
Well before I started the fasting journey is when I discovered that I was celiac.
Yeah, and just for the listeners out there that might not necessarily understand what celiac is or what they go through, can you just sort of give a little bit of an explanation about that?
Absolutely. So celiac essentially is your gut villi, or these little fingers inside of your gut, attack gluten. So gluten is inside wheat or grains. There's controversy out there whether or not there's gluten in corn. I think there is. And essentially it's an allergy. So it's like telling somebody with a peanut allergy, oh, you can just eat it, which I'd hear all the time. Oh, you're not celiac. You just have a little bit. Just have a little bit of wheat. No, I can't do that. So what would happen with a gluten attack is I would just get really bloated and sore and achy. And there's just a whole host of conditions that come with celiac. And that's basically, it's scary. So you look it up and think of any condition on your body can be tied to that autoimmune. And it actually goes back to leaky gut, which is a pretty bad condition, which I think I had.
Yeah. So would you say intermittent fasting has definitely helped you with that?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think I've had one attack since I started from 2019 to today. And I used to get them once a month. And those attacks, sometimes it feels like you have the flu all the time is what it felt like. And my last attack, I did a post on your Facebook group, Graham, I think was like a month ago or something like that. And it lasted only a few hours. And that was it. Typically, they would last weeks. So whether that's related to fasting, I don't know. I certainly like to believe so, just because of the amount of inflammation that was in my body and that it seems to be gone now.
Yeah, so where are you at now? We're now in sort of February 2021. From the very start to right now, what sort of weight loss have you seen now?
So today I weighed myself. I'm at 193 pounds.
Wow, that's amazing. And so what sort of target are you looking forward to get down to, Keith? You got any sort of maintenance goal in mind, or are you just going to wait till your body sort of settles and deal with it then?
Well, I was at a target weight, and right now I'm not so focused on the weight as I am my health. I'm trying to build my strength and just build my conditioning up, because I think that's more important than weight. But if you want to talk weight, because I know the scale has been around forever and everybody focuses on the scale, if I get into the high 170s, I'll be happy. So between 175, 180. So I don't have that far to go.
So, mate, we talk about things like appetite correction. And did that come for you? And when did that come for you?
So yeah, appetite correction pretty much came, I would say, right away, even with the dirty fasting. So I used to be able to just sit down and eat whatever unlimited food and never get full. And within 4 weeks of starting fasting, I was like, whoa, that was too much. So my body started responding and talking to me and essentially saying, yeah, you're full, don't eat any more food. So appetite correction kicked in pretty quick for myself.
Oh, that's great. So Keith, we'll move in now to what we call the non-scale victories and the health benefits from intermittent fasting that you've found. And I know I've seen your posts in our Facebook group, the Fasting Highway Facebook group. Just run us through a few of those.
Yeah, so a lot of the NSVs, so there's so many, but I'll just run through a quick list here. So skin tags. So I had lots of skin tags all over my body gone. They just kind of disappeared. Go Google it. There's lots of people that have had this issue as well. Another thing, my eyebrows have always had the doctors and dermatologists, they would flip back and forth, call it eczema or psoriasis. It's gone out of my eyebrows. I had dandruff so bad, and I actually just realized this one last week. I don't have dandruff anymore. I used to have dandruff so bad I'd sit at my desk at school and I'd brush my hair and it'd be like it was snowing. That's how bad it was. My tendonitis in my wrist is gone. That was a huge one because I'm a IT tech by trade. My plantar fasciitis is gone in my feet. My toenails, I would have ingrown toenails like all the time and they'd be broken and cracked. I haven't had an ingrown toenail since starting. The bunions, even on my feet, they're just about gone. And that's a huge one. Two really big ones. So testosterone. So my testosterone since 2008 has been like a near zero. And I was taking testosterone replacement therapy for it. It's nasty to have low testosterone. So basically, after 4 months of fasting, so in November of 2019, my testosterone shot through the roof and I got off my meds. It was huge.
So, Keith, just elaborate a bit more on that mindset. And I know you said earlier in the episode that you had a lot of anger issues and that sort of thing and mood swings. And now you feel that calmness and peacefulness. And I think a lot of people do. And I know for myself that happened and it really turned me into a much calmer person, much more tolerant person, and a much more patient person. Have you found that sort of thing for you as well?
Absolutely. So what I've said several times on the Facebook group, and people kind of chuckle or say comments, is I said I had the mindset of a monk and the strength of a gladiator. So when I say that, I really mean it. So I don't mean it in a bad way. When we think of monks, we think of meditation, I think of very calm, very strong-willed, and that's how I feel. Like the brain fog that has been lifted from my brain makes me feel like a new human. The strength that I get is just unbelievable because for example, when I lost all my weight 22 years ago for the military, I met minimum requirements for boot camp. Today, I meet maximum requirements. So minimum then was one pull up. Now I could do six in a row, no problem. I could push up, say, unlimited in the 2 minutes. Like, just the strength that I'm gaining from doing almost nothing is just unbelievable. And the mindset is crazy, Graham, because you and I have talked about this before. I never used to read books. Now, I feel like I'm an encyclopedia and I just want to grab books and read them and just be like, I want more and just absorb because I can learn. I don't forget it. And that brain fog, if anybody's ever had brain fog, it is nasty because in school it was so difficult for me to study it. I have to read books like sometimes 20 times over just to keep up. Now I can read the book once and obtain that knowledge and keep it. It's crazy. I can do multiple subjects, multiple books all at once, and just learning. And I love to learn, and I absolutely love reading. Mindset is, I would say, the most important thing to be able to do fasting. If you don't have the mindset and you don't have the grit to just want to get up and do it, you probably won't. And how I focus on that is I typically find a why. So for some of the listeners, they might have heard my kids running in the background. So I'll jump into that why real quick. My youngest, she has a whole host of health issues. And unfortunately, one of the things that she has, well, a couple things, is she was born with a single kidney. Not really that big of a deal. Okay, fine. But she has recurrent UTI infections. And what happens is she'll get an infection sometimes randomly, and that infection will go up to her kidney. So at the age of 5 is how old she is today. She already has damage on her kidney. So one of my health goals, and this is why I said I don't really weigh myself that much and my health is important, is I want to be able to offer to her kidney. Whether I'm a match or not, it doesn't matter, because in this day and age, you can do what's called kidney donor. So I can find somebody who's a match for her, and I'll give my kidney to that one person. It's utterly important for me to stay healthy for the sake of my daughter in the event she ever does need a kidney. And I will absolutely give that to her. And that's what you really have to focus on.
Yeah, that's beautiful, mate. And I think any dad would do the same for sure. And I think that's absolute fantastic why there. And, you know, and I think mindset is the most important thing. It definitely is. For me, it's 95% of the whole thing. I mean, people talk about obesity as when people look at obese people like we were, Keith, their instant reaction is that that person has no willpower. That person has no discipline. That person is lazy. That's their first reaction when they see obese people, or they just think you have no control. And yet, we look at some of our world's leaders, the wealthiest people in the world, billionaires, businessmen, guys that are leading trade and industry, they're chronically obese. So do they have no willpower, no drive, no control to be able to get there? No. Obesity is a disease, and it affects so many people in the world, even very, very successful people. So next time somebody looks at an obese person that's listening to this podcast, just don't make assumptions that they have no control or they're lazy or they have no willpower, because they've been affected by disease. And sometimes disease, like every other disease, has many aspects to it. And I think we just got to flip that switch around, Keith, and start getting the people to look at obesity not only as a disease, but it's also a pandemic.
Graham, I agree 100% with you that it is a pandemic. And it's a pandemic that, unfortunately, they're not doing the alarm bells like our existing pandemic that we have. The biggest primary cause that I can see and why fasting works is because it controls that crazy hormone that everybody hears about, that I've learned about fasting, insulin. And if your insulin is constantly on the go because you're feeding yourself this glucose and this sugar, you're going to develop insulin resistance. And that insulin resistance, you're just going to get fat, period. And that's what's going to happen. You can starve yourself, sure, and probably lose weight, but it's not going to last very long. I did it, I don't know, 25, 30 times in my life that I've lost weight, gained it back, and then more. Like everybody else out there, or yo-yo dieting, it's a real thing. It's absolutely real. And it's sad that these corporations, I won't name any names, they feed on it. They absolutely feed on your not being successful, because they know, oh, well, if you're successful, why would you ever come back? Right? Or the other thing is, these diets would probably work. You hear this all the time. These diets will work if you just stick with it. Yeah, you could stick with it, but you're going to be miserable. You're going to hate your life. There's some diets out there you can order and they send you like in cardboard and it tastes like cardboard. Why would you want to eat like that? Like, no, thank you. I will fast, and I will do this for the absolute rest of my life, Graham. And I will broadcast to the absolute world that this is the way to do it. My passion for fasting is beyond anything I ever thought I could have. My passion just grows by the day. I wake up now, and I'm excited to wake up. And why I'm excited is I'm not sore anymore. I don't wake up feeling creaky and just like stiff and it takes you hours to wake up. Now I'm like, bing, out of bed and I'm ready to roll. And that's because of fasting. That's because I've corrected this insulin resistance in my body that the doctors, unfortunately, don't get you checked. So if you are listening and you're fat, go see your doctor and I'll tell you, get your A1C checked, your C-peptide, your fasting insulin, your fasting glucose, get your full panel blood and your full cholesterol and get those checked. And you can go to, there's a website that you can go to, maybe Graham can post it in the notes, where you can actually check your insulin resistance to see if you have a problem. It's sad that the doctors don't do that for us. So take it upon yourself and tell your doctor you demand this and you want it and get it done and check it, because chances are you do have that problem. And if you do, start fasting right away. Don't waste time. Don't listen to the doctors that put you on what I call, or many people call, one very good mentor that I listen to is Dr. Ken Berry, and he calls the standard American diet the stupid American diet. I agree 100%. It is. It just doesn't make any sense. So if you really look at that, very important to not listen to these so-called experts that tell us stuff. And it's very important, go listen to some podcasts. There's actually a very good podcast from a guest of yours, Graham, Bette Lucas. She did this amazing podcast. It just kind of, it like flipped me and drives this passion inside of me, where she had Dr. Ken Berry on there. And it's amazing. And if anybody hasn't listened to that podcast, you need to listen to it and listen to it again. I bet you I listened to it 5 times, because it just blows your mind.
Yeah, you're talking about Bette Lucas's podcast there, Living Your Big Bold Life podcast, and she has had some amazing guests on there. But Keith, I think you've spoken a lot of sense here, but it's important also to mention to people that any health plan, please consult your doctor and talk about it with them anyway. Whether or not they agree with it, you've then got to make those decisions. But there now are a lot of doctors out there that do support fasting. What I'd really love to see, Keith, is like a global register of MDs and doctors that actually do support intermittent fasting and they encourage it. And I think if we had that, and I know there is some type of list like that here in Australia that I've seen that has a few doctors that do recommend intermittent fasting. And we know down in New Zealand, we've got Sarah Cull, who works in a medical practice in Auckland in New Zealand, where their frontline treatment for diabetes 2 patients is intermittent fasting. So they put them through a program and they've done all these case studies and they are having amazing results. But yes, it is important to check with your medical professionals, and also that any information you hear in this podcast, of course, is our opinion and shouldn't be taken as medical advice. But Keith, so in Canada there where you are, and you live in a beautiful part of Canada, it's amazing some of the photos that you posted the countryside there. What sort of obesity like where you live? Have you noticed it's getting worse, or is it sort of staying around the same?
I guess, again, back to mindset, it depends from what point of view you're looking at it. If you were to talk to me 8 months ago, I'd say it's not really a problem because I was kind of there. But now that I'm at a lower weight and I can see that I'm healthy, I would say there is a problem. And there's a lot of people that have an issue, definitely. So I don't know the stats because I'm not a statistician, but I certainly see that there's a problem. And I think it's a little bit probably lower than the States, maybe, because people are a little bit more mindful, or at least I'm optimistic to think that. I do walk around and I do see it a lot, Graham.
Yeah. You know what freaks me out, Keith? The other day I was in hospital, right? And they came around with this tray of food for breakfast, which I had no intention of eating. Anyway, they put this tray down, and before I could tell, a guy had gone. And I looked at it, and just I know very quickly now how to add up sugar content, that sort of thing, in food. And on this tray in front of me for breakfast was some 20, 25 teaspoons of sugar, right, combined in all the stuff they had on the tray. There was cereal, there was milk, there was orange juice, there was yogurt, all these things. And I thought to myself, wow, so this is what they're starting hospital patients off with a day, 25 teaspoons of sugar, where the World Health Organization recommends the intake for men should be a total of less than 8 teaspoons of sugar a day. Now, it's funny, I was talking to a nutritionist the other day about it, who's coming up on the podcast, and she said to me, well, you've hit the nail right on the head, because she said each meal in a hospital is around 20 to 27 teaspoons of sugar. So if you're in hospital for, say, a few days, you're taking in 80 teaspoons of sugar just off those 3 meals. Now, that's absolutely crazy. That's like 10 times the recommended intake from our leading World Health Organization. And to me, if you're a dietitian or you're a nutritionist and you're working in the hospital, they've really got to start doing something about it, because that's outrageous.
Yeah, it's sad. Like, we can, I can sit here all day and be angry, but unfortunately they're in the same boat as I was, where they believe a lot of these so-called experts out there that say, oh, this is the diet you should eat. But go look at the history of these diets. Go look at the history of the term breakfast is the most important meal. That's what I tell people, is figure out where that comes from. And the number one thing that comes from is economics. And why would we feed our people cheap food in the hospitals? Because it's cheap, right? It costs like next to nothing to feed them sugar. So why wouldn't they? Because they can keep the cost down. Or they can, I don't know, there's lots of conspiracies out there that I'm not going to get into, because I don't think that's relevant for your podcast, Graham. But look it up. People really need to wake up, and you got to get angry. You got to get driven. You got to get passionate about this. And once you get there, once you get to the point that I'm at, and a lot of people will see in the Fasting Highway Facebook group that I'm in, Graham, I tend to post quite frequently lately. There was a time where I kind of stopped, but I post a lot. And the reason I post is it's important for people to know that this is what you do. Fasting, it's from our genes. It's built into what we did before Jesus existed. People fasted. So why did we stop? And that's what's important, is bring up the history. Bring up why we stopped. Why did we stop fasting? And the only thing that I can see it is our entire economy is driven by food. It's driven by making people ill. What is in it for them to say, oh, just fast and you'll heal yourself? What's in it? Where's the money to tell somebody, oh, just fast, it doesn't cost anything? There's nothing. And to that point, Graham, I go to the health food stores now, and you actually can see packaged food that is for fasters, for clean fasting. And it's unbelievable that they would even do that. So you really have to triple check where you're getting your information. Triple check everything. And that's absolutely super important. So one thing I just wanted to say real quick, Graham, what I think is important, I know I talked quite a bit, but I think this is important for people to know. A fun little fact. Fat is actually an organ. Go Google it, because I know your people will. So we have a problem where we talk about this pandemic that you talked about, Graham. We have fatty fat organs, is what I like to call it. Whether that's a term, I don't know. It could be. Surely somebody out there has it. But it brings me to another thing. In 2008, I had this pain. I always had this pain in my right side. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, you just have a fatty liver. That's the problem. Oh, okay. You kind of brush it off as no big deal. You know what? That's a very big deal. Very big deal. And I wish they would make a bigger deal about it. So if you're listening and you have a fatty liver, you do something about it right now, because you're just going to get a whole host of other issues to happen to yourself. And you got to fix that. Since fasting, my fatty liver went from moderately fatty to minimal fatty. So do I still have fatty liver today? Yeah, I do. Am I going to get corrected? Absolutely, I will get it corrected. I will get it fixed. And that's my goal. So you'll find me on the fasting highway. I do all these crazy challenges to myself where I'm like, ah, no more caffeine. Well, there's reasons for it. Because my health is very important. Not only for my why of my daughter, but it's important for me as a father. I want to live. I want to be pain-free. And this, I love this. Like, the passion, and there's so much information on this that it's just kind of, I feel like it's hidden. And that's why I say I feel like I'm in this Pandora's box ever since I grabbed that book at the thrift store. And I continue. I've read so many fasting books. I've listened to so many podcasts, watched so many different YouTube videos. But my biggest source of information happens to be my peers, happens to be social media. That's huge, because I don't trust all these studies that say, oh, look at this study, look at this study. I just don't trust it, unfortunately, anymore, because I've been groomed too much through the healthcare system. And I'm just tired of it. Will I listen to my doctors? Yeah, I listen to them, but it doesn't mean I have to listen to them. I'll get different advice. I get multiple viewpoints from all angles. I'm one of those crazy people. I'll tell you something real quick, Graham. My youngest daughter, we didn't know what was wrong with her. And it turned out, long story short, she had a lipoma on the base of her spine. And they call it a chaotic complex lipoma. Sounds scary. So essentially, it's almost like a tumor, because it can grow. It's a big fatty mass on her spine. And the neurosurgeon at the time, this is after I discovered I was celiac, I said no. So I'm one of those guys that is absolutely crazy. I will call myself crazy. My friends will call myself crazy. That's okay. But I said no to the neurosurgeon, which I don't think many people will do. You got to stand up for yourself. And the second neurosurgeon said the same thing. Oh, yeah, no, we got to do surgery. Third one said the same thing. Fourth said same thing. And finally, the fifth pediatric neurosurgeon, named Dr. Pang out of California, agreed with me that absolutely not, do not touch that, because we could possibly paralyze her. So you know what? I stopped the surgery because I listened to that gut instinct that we all have that nobody listens to. And you absolutely have to bring that gut instinct and listen to it. Listen to that little thing that talks. And that little thing that talks brings me to another topic, Graham. But I know you probably have another question for me, so I'll shut up.
Yeah, it's interesting, mate. I think you've got to take everything on board that medical experts do say, because obviously they're being trained and that sort of thing. But that's not to say all the training is necessarily the most effective thing for you. And we talk about the experiment of one. And for me, the science of intermittent fasting and all that, I understand it. But it's more about living the journey for me and the outcomes that it gives me. And when I'm seeing them in real time every day, that's my confirmation. Not what a doctor tells me, not what a surgeon tells me. I know how I feel, and I've got to get so in tune with my body now that I actually know what's going on. And for me, when I see the numbers and I see the blood results and the doctors goo and gar over them and gush and that sort of thing, that's great. But as long as I'm feeling well in myself and I know that I don't take any medications, I'm 58 years old, and for me, that's a win in itself. So intermittent fasting is certainly something that we are passionate about, and I can really hear that in your voice, and it resonates with me. And sometimes we can get a little bit too overpassionate when we're sharing things, and I know we drive our wives mad probably sometimes as well talking about it, but it's very hard not to at times. And, you know, I think it's over the time, and now I sort of obviously do a couple of podcasts a week and talk to people in my Facebook group and answer umpteen messages every week. So it's important too to sort of take a step back and sort of involve your life a bit too in it.
That's very, very important. And you and I have talked about this, and I know you chuckled. And my wife, yeah, she gets mad because that tends to be all I talk about. But honestly, it's my drive. It's my life. I still have my job. I'm a cybersecurity specialist, and I love my job. I love learning about IT security. And the funny thing is, I started out in network administration. Network administration and fasting and all these health issues, they very heavily tie in. So if there's any IT guys out there, you know what? Look me up, and I'll tell you exactly some analogies on how it works so you can understand it and then you can believe it. Because a lot of people out there now are working from home. They're probably in the IT field somewhat, so you're going to know a little bit. Resources for you guys that I follow: Dr. Jason Fung, of course, Dr. Ken Berry, Dr. Mark Hyman, Dr. Josh Sachs, Dr. Jockers. I know you and I have talked before. This podcast I listen to, Banazati. I certainly, every single podcast that comes out for you, Graham, I listen to it right away. There's just an unlimited amount of information and amazing people in the field. And people, you have to get out, you got to listen, and you really got to believe it. And that's where it goes. You really got to believe that this is important.
So, Keith, one final question for you, mate. I know exercise is a really big part of your journey, and I've seen some of your hikes that you do there in the beautiful mountains surrounding your home. Absolutely looks spectacular. And I know that you mentioned to me that you meditated on a mountaintop. Just tell us a bit about that before we go.
Absolutely. So 2015, when I had all those issues with my spleen, I actually took a meditation course and I learned how to meditate properly. I learned yoga and I actually did that for about a year and then I stopped. And you know what? I brought it back to my forefront because I think it's important. It's important, those anxiety feelings that you get, those angry feelings you get where you're just like, oh, what is going on? You know what? Do yoga, do meditation. It's very, look it up. You know what? There's an amazing guy that kind of relates heavily to fasting, Wim Hof, or known as the Iceman. Look him up. He's absolutely amazing. We'll teach you how to meditate. I used to have this belief, oh, meditation is not for my belief. Absolutely, that's wrong. You know what? If you don't kid yourself, when Moses climbed that mountain and he was up there for 40 days, you bet you he was fasting. I guarantee it. There's no way he just sat there, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, I'm just going to eat. No, he wouldn't have ate. Would have been a 40-day fast. Do we extend that fast? Am I saying do 40 days? No, don't do that. Absolutely not. Don't do that today unless you have a doctor tell you. But it's super important. And yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Keith, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today, and I really enjoyed it. And thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
Thank you, Graham.
Cheers, mate. Oh, thank you so much, Keith. That was absolutely fantastic. And you didn't disappoint, mate. You're an amazing guy. And I'm so delighted that I've got to call you a friend. And I cannot wait to get over to Canada to see you and your family. And vice versa, if you come down here to Australia, you'd be more than welcome. So coming up on the podcast next week, we've got Marilyn Passmore. Marilyn is a very inspiring person herself in her own right. And Marilyn's intermittent fasting journey has also been amazing, and we continue to bring these people with just these fantastic stories to the podcast. So don't miss that one next week, Marilyn Passmore. I just wanted to thank you, send a thank you to all those people buying my book, The Fasting Highway, on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback. Thank you so much. It really, really helps me keep this podcast sponsor-free. So thank you for that. It's much appreciated. It's just my story, warts and all. And I think it's been received pretty well, and it's motivated quite a few people. So anyway, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.